Hello and welcome to Savini Speaks Mental Health, our brand new podcast where we dive into the human side of mental health. My name is Steve Scott and I'm going to be your host today, and with me we have two very powerful episode lined up with two of our fantastic guests. So we're going to welcome Paul Kirkham and Michael Fazakli, who are both of course from our esteemed health and safety team. Together what we're going to do today is we're going to explore their personal journeys, some coping strategies and any support they might have received from the organisation at any point during their employment to date. Hopefully we'll have some candid conversations and definitely some authentic insights, and we're here to break down some stigmas really, if we can share some stories and try to uncover some practical ways to navigate the highs and lows of our mental health journeys. So please join us as we embark on what we hope you'll find an interesting conversation as Savini Speaks Mental Health. Gents, first and foremost, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Good, yeah, thank you. Got in a good time as well. Well done, well done. So something new this, isn't it, for all of us? But I've been really looking forward to speaking to you. I know we've been talking about this for quite some time now, and appreciate you taking the time to do it. So I definitely just want to say thank you for stepping outside of your comfort zones, because I know this is obviously not normal for us at the moment, but I'm sure we'll be fine, so we'll just kind of have a nice chat. So first and foremost, just want to ask you guys, how are you doing today?
Yeah, all right, mate. All right, yeah, excited for this. Nerve sighted, I think I'd call it.
Camera's rolling, no, brilliant. So I guess we're just going to kind of just dive straight into it, and I want to kind of just start then by asking you about your own kind of mental health journey, I guess, so far, and particularly kind of how aware of you your mental health, and since you've worked at Savini, how has that has that impacted you whilst working at Savini? Mike, I'll start with you.
I've struggled on and off with my mental health for years. I'm now 32, so probably the best part of 10. Going through change is a big thing for me. So when I left the army previously, as I said, I've only been at Savini 3 years, this is my third year. So going through that change of starting again, basically at 28 years old, was a massive thing for me. And then I've had to become aware of my mental health more. I've had to look into it because it's affected my life quite considerably, like, you know what I mean? So I've become very aware over the years, looked into it. It's a topic I could talk about for hours, really, to be honest. So I don't know how long we've got here, but I can definitely waffle about it.
Enough time. So you have, obviously, that was, how long were you in the army for?
Just shy of 12 years, wow. 2 months shy of 12 years I was in there for.
Amazing, so you kind of went from a boy to...
Yeah, to 18 to 30, so
how has that adjustment been? Obviously, Savini Group work with the armed forces, and the armed forces covenant, so there is some awareness of that, but is that such a big change? What is it? What's a big change for you?
Unbeknownst to me, the structure of the army sort of enabled me to cope with my mental health. So when I left, I had no idea, but all them things that were letting me cope were taken away. So then I had to sort of why am I like this now? So what worked for me in the past? And I think it was the structure. But coming to work for Savini has been different, better in some ways, worse in other ways. But yeah, structure is definitely a key thing for me. Like, and I had that in the army, it was taken away. So going through that change was massive. New people, new environments. Change has always sort of been a trigger for me. And it's only after I'd left the army and we had a significant change that I identified change as a trigger. And then when I went back through my life, you could pretty much pinpoint, there's some change there, something's happened.
Right.
And the cycle, you know what I mean? Yeah. It all just fits together there. That's makes great. The puzzle complete.
Is it, can I just ask, is it, how does it feel when you recognise, like, how mental health was affected?
Frustrating, because you recognise it. I know why I do what I do, but I can't stop it.
Can't do anything about it.
And there's times where I think, you do that, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's sort of learning to trust. A big thing for me is learning to recognise when them decisions are there and making the right choice. It often comes down, I find, between what I want to do but what I need to do.
Okay.
I need to pick the need more than the want, you know what I mean? And that sort of really keeps the boat level. Like.
Brilliant. So Paul, just same question for you really, kind of your personal mental health journey to date, and particularly kind of how aware of you are you, sorry, of your mental health, and you know, looking back over your time at Savini, has there been times when you can say, you know, I was in that place then, and how's that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, for myself, when I was it's like this a sleeping thing for me, just to kind of cut it to a short story. So overactive mind, overthinker, call it what you want. But that's the thing for me, and if like stresses, whether it be work, life, something else, if you can't let go of the issue, you can't let go of the issue. So some days that's a really good thing because I can hyper focus and get a task done. Other days it's not so good because I'm here and I need to be over there. Mm-hmm. But it's only in recent years, really. Yeah, I'd probably say in the last 5, maybe 8, 10 years, where I've really become aware that I was struggling. Whereas previously I just thought I was a bit busy-minded and I couldn't sleep or whatever, and you know, I sort of often do silly things and be a little bit outrageous, or you know, crack a few jokes here and there because I couldn't deal with whatever the situation. So it kind of went hidden for a long time. Yeah. I found out recently though, when I was a kid, I was diagnosed as, I think it was hyperkinetic at the time, got put on medication. My mum didn't like the result of the medication, so she took me off it. But it was like years later, I was like, I'd probably use that info sooner, yeah, mum, you know what I mean? Because now there's more awareness of it, and there's more. So it I think that became what's now ADHD. So right, when I've looked into that in recent years, and certainly talking to Mike as well, just understanding things, you think, oh, no, actually that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So although the labels are kind of bandied around, for me it's more about like what's behind the label, what does it mean? It means that some days you feel like this, and I was like, all right, okay. Mm. So there's nothing wrong with me then, I'm a normal person, if you like, and I just need to deal with it better. So only in recent years really I've acknowledged that I needed to deal with something.
So how did you find kind of a structure in terms of to how you're thinking and the way you're
thinking? Yeah, I think
coming back to structures a little bit.
Me and Mike talk quite a bit about this, and I think that he's probably a bit further down the line in terms of that structure thing. I don't really think I've ever had a rigid structure, mm-hmm, and that's probably part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I did have, that would help me. But
we're pretty similar, aren't we, in terms of, I think, what we, our minds work the same, basically go through a period of overactivity where you can do lots and lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah.
But then you've got to pay the piper, then there's days where you can't do a thing. And it mimics depression, but it's not, it's more like burnout. You're just burnt off from being 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's certainly sort of nice for it. It's like a cycle, really. Yeah. I'll go through, like, so if you take 30 days for 25 of them, I'll be fine as I am now. But there'll be 3 days where I'm really wired and I'm doing things and getting loads done.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have to pay the piper and a crash, and I don't want to see anyone, can't speak to my kids.
Have both of you, or either of you, kind of, it's quite a personal question, but I guess that's why we're here, so I'm going to ask you. You know, please feel free if you don't want to talk about that, but have either of you or both of you kind of gone through any kind of therapy or medication, and how has that impacted you kind of?
I've been up through all kinds of different therapy.
Yeah.
It definitely helps, but I think there's a point to where once you go through the therapy and you look at your past and you understand how you are, why you do the things
you
do.
Was it like a talking therapy?
Yeah, it was massively revealing. It was helpful revealing. It basically just tells you why you do what you do, and there's often always answers there. Usually goes back to your childhood or your younger years, and you can see, oh, that's why I get angry when that happens, or that's why this happens. But there comes a point where, for me anyway, it was enough. I knew the answers now, but I didn't need any more answers. There's no good going over and rehashing all the past. It wouldn't do me any good. It's then dealing with, like, how do I stop that from happening? What do I do? Okay. And I found it, for me, it's making my lifestyle fit my head, basically. You know what I mean? There's things that are good to me, things that aren't. So if I do 8 things, you know, a week, if I do them 8 things, I'll be all right.
Okay.
If I give one up. And it's simple things like, one I always used to get me and my mate, do you want to come for a pint after match on like a Wednesday?
Mm.
And I go, yeah, I can come for one pint. No, I can't. That's
like, not 15 pints.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Little things like that, but then it has a knock-on effect. It's not the drinking, it's you don't sleep.
Yeah.
Then you feel like, you know, rubbish, things build up easier, and then
that impacts. It's the decision. It's making the decision that you know is wrong.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me. You can have a bevy in that, and that's sometimes good, sometimes bad. But if you know you shouldn't be in that environment, regardless of what the environment is, you know yourself, I'm not in the right frame of mind for that today. But I spent years putting myself in positions I knew I shouldn't be in.
And you know the outcome.
Yeah, you know where you're going to be. And it's not necessarily like a bad set of circumstances, but for me as an individual, if I keep putting myself there, you if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results.
Yeah.
And I just kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's that definition of insanity, isn't it?
Yeah.
Expecting that to turn out different. And it never does, ever. It never does. You've got to be the one, I think, to say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be that one anymore. I'm going to stop.
We'll go that line to ourselves.
I
was going to ask you about that. Do you think, because obviously, you know, we're talking there about everything that we should do that and put the structures in place, or even if they're not so formed as yet, to kind of help. But do you think, are you looking back from where you've been to where you are today, are you more forgiving of yourself for making a mistake and perhaps They're not repeating it?
I think you've got to be, otherwise the guilt will get you. That'll just eat you up and it'll consume you if you think about all the bad things you've done, all the wrong things, what you should have done, the mistakes you've made.
Nobody's perfect, right?
So it's being forgiven, isn't it, with yourself, which is hard. Especially if you've got high standards, let yourself off the hook.
Yeah.
I think that's the driver, though, isn't it? It's that kind of constant conversation in the back of your mind. Where you, for me, it's that constant kind of push thing. I'm very sort of self-destructive mentally, I think, and I give myself a lot of, you know, I pressure myself to do things more than what other people might do. Which, again, on some days, that's great, but it's recognising that that's not a healthy thing, way to live, really. Yeah. Not every day, you shouldn't be like that all the time. And for me, it's recognising the thing, it's recognising there's a decision to be made here. And I know what I'll do if I do that one.
Okay.
It's recognising that point.
Recognition of it.
Yeah.
You've just touched on there something I wanted to move on to. And I want to, obviously we're here, you know, as part of the Savini group and talking about mental health. So I think it's prevalent and relevant that we talk about workplace pressures and stresses at work.
Yeah.
And you just talked about the high pressure nature of our jobs. So what, in your view, or... Well, you've both worked in other industry, in other companies as well. Are there any kind of unique mental health challenges that you're faced by working here?
I don't think it's Savini specific, but in terms of the time where the world is at with the agile work and push to work from home, call it what you want, I think that's brought with it some hidden issues that maybe weren't really obvious at the start, where you think, oh, I'll get loads of time, I'll pick the kids up and do this. No, you're on longer, you do more, and I don't think that's peculiar to Savini. I think that's the way the world of certainly office work has moved in the last few years. But overall, I don't want to sound too much like a corporate cheerleader, but I think Savini have been great with all of the stuff, and certainly in our experience. If I've got an issue, I can speak to Phil or any one of the team and say, listen, I'm having a bit of a bad day today. And there's a give and take there, do you know what I mean? And in other companies I've been in, it wasn't even an allowed conversation. You weren't even allowed really to go there. You could deal with the issues, but go and deal with them somewhere else. Take yourself off sick and go away. And is that was it, you know what I mean?
Is that the terminology used to be, you leave your problems at the door?
Yeah. I'm still me, whether I'm here or whether I'm at home.
So Mike, what about you? What about kind of, are there any unique mental health challenges working here? Obviously you've talked about being in the army before, so that's very different.
Massive difference, mate, to be honest. There's been pros and cons. Like, dead supportive within the teams, the group as well has been dead supportive. So that's a bonus of the army, just wasn't. If you, it's like, oh, you broke higher, go ahead, see you next week, you know, that type of thing. And you wouldn't believe some of the conversations I've had with people who've said things that it's just a total different attitude. It's a bit like it, to be honest. But the group, again, the group's been great, dead supportive, can talk to Paul, Matt, and other people in the team. But one challenge that I thought I would enjoy was the agile working aspect. So I jumped into agile, but after a couple of weeks, it was pretty obvious that it wasn't ideal for me. Do your work, when do you do it? When do I start? I'm trying to get out of bed.
Whenever you want.
So for me, that was a bit of a like, I need that structure, so I have to get up and start at the same time. I have to have my dinner at a set time, and that helps me just sort of manage me.
Interesting.
Whereas if it was, you can fall into the trap of it. Start at 11 o'clock at the moment. I've got no meetings.
I think from my experience and obviously being involved quite heavily with the implementation of agile working, I would say agile working doesn't remove any problems. I think it creates a lot more opportunities for solutions. But what we tend to look for as a workforce in the UK definitely is rules. Everybody's looking for rules.
We all want to be told what to do deep down.
And actually, agile working is about principles. It's about productivity. It's about delivery, and giving you autonomy to do that. And the reality is that is challenging for some people. A lot of people, actually, not some. I would say most people. In fact,
there's a lot of plus sides to it though, because the sort of the way you can structure, I know for me, I'm probably better at the early part of the week when I've had the weekend, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I try and get my face-to-face stuff then, and then by the end of the week when I'm done in, I don't have to do it.
Monday to Wednesday, work, Thursday, Friday, not so much.
This is a Tuesday.
That's what I mean, if you try to get me on Thursday, I'd be like,
ah, no
chance.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. So, I guess why I've got both of you here, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something to do with kind of your roles in terms of the health and safety team, and it's not necessarily just about you two. I'm interested to kind of get your view on whether the constant like need and emphasis for a focus to be on safety, which is entirely right, of course.
Was it?
Yeah, thank you. You didn't pay me to say that. Do you think that like has any impact on the mental health of our workforce? That I'm thinking about particularly about our remote workforce, our construction workers, our our repairs and maintenance teams, etc., etc. Do you think is there anything to do with like the element of need to be safe, need to be compliant, need to do all these things, like additional pressures, I think would probably be considered it to be, why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do that? Do you think that does have an impact or should it have an impact?
I think when we speak to operational teams on a daily basis, definitely weekly, if not, that everything adds to it, doesn't it? Even if it's for the right reasons and it's a necessary thing you've got to do, it all adds to what you're dealing with. It all adds to the weight of your life, of your day, of the world on you. And if you're the type of person who takes that on, some people, I can't remember what the training was, but it was about the monkeys, don't take other people's monkeys, monkey on your back or whatever. Yeah. So if you're offloading to me as a mate and then I go, go on and I'll take your problems on, it depends how many I've got to start with. So if you do that all the time, and I think you can get to a point where little things will start to break you. You know what I mean? And that's the thing for me, I'll take, and then it's like the final straw then, and then it's too late then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For some people, probably that can be safety issues, can't it? If you're sweating, on, you're steaming up, and that can, and it's how do you look at it? If you don't do it, if you focus on what could happen, that can also send you under, can't it? Like if you read a risk assessment, things are waiting me in there. What am I going to go to it?
Yeah. I think like a site manager in the middle.
Yeah.
If you've got the operatives to do is doing all of the stuff there, you've then got the corporate structure above you, you've then got the commercial aspect, you've got safety turning up and saying this is wrong and this is wrong. Mm-hmm. I can see someone in that position very easily succumbing to the pressure. Mm-hmm. I think our pressure's slightly different because we don't have that.
We've only got one angle, haven't we?
Exactly.
If you're the site manager, you're dealing with three or four.
Yeah. If something's expensive,
it's
an unfortunate result, but it needs to be done.
Yeah.
So it's easy for us, that conversation.
Yeah. Particularly for operational managers, I think that's a really good point around. You've just touched on it there, Mike, saying they have a number of things to deal with, not just health and safety, not just HR from my world, not just pay or IT, it's operational delivery as well. So there's a lot of pressures potentially associated to that. And can I ask, kind of from your perspective again, as a health and safety team, it's kind of a chance to kind of put it out there, I suppose. Do we talk to our teams, or perhaps could we be better at? I don't know the answer to that. On the why we do certain things, are some of these pressures and mental health kind of stresses that are put on to our managers because is it a lack of like cohesion and understanding? We're asking them to do this, they must do this because of that, to keep them ultimately to keep them safe. I know that sounds obvious, but do we actually talk about that or not?
Me personally, for the interactions I have with people within the group, I probably not. I don't ever bring the conversation. If someone wanted to speak to me, I'd be an open book, I'd talk to them, but I wouldn't bring it up because I think everyone's different and I should be enlightened.
Yeah.
I think if you look, people cause problems, so like people cause problems for themselves, they might be in denial about something. I'm alright, I can cope, but can you though? And I think if you did speak to someone, it would definitely lessen the pressure on them.
Yeah.
But people have ingrained into, just get on with it. And
it's like what you're saying there about coping. What is coping now? Is coping doing the job, or is coping
excelling
being happy
in life?
Exactly, because we've got lots of really good site teams who do an amazing job. I don't know if they're happy in the house.
Yeah.
They might be absolutely suicidal. They might be terribly depressed. It might be as a result of the project or not.
Yeah.
But if I go and go, ticking all the boxes here, happy days.
Yeah. So adding things, aren't
of course, they, and I think that's leading to, going back to the first conversation, I think that's where I've come to in my life, just I tried to hide it from the people I knew I needed to hide it from.
Yeah.
We were sat in an interview 10-15 years ago, I'm not going to talk about my mental health, probably not these days, I might do, but then I probably wouldn't. So you tailor things, don't you? And I don't think site managers or anyone like that is any different.
So Paul, kind of just touched on, like, I think one thing you've mentioned there, a number of things you've mentioned, but actually does affect now probably all of us in the group at some point, is lone working, on construction sites, and even if you are in a two-person van, likelihood is you'll be in different rooms doing different things. By definition, that's kind of like lone working at some point. Do you kind of feel or see from a health and safety perspective, or even just from your own experiences of feeling that, can how do you feel about lone work with regards to kind of your mental health? And
I think there's two kind of bits of it. There's lone working, which is the safety risk and the legal side of it, and there's like lonely working, isn't
lonely
there? Which is
working,
yeah, which is a different thing. And I think we're all victims of being lonely workers at times, because we're all used to sitting in an office, or you know, you were used to being in the army with that environment. I'm used to working in offices with loads of people. I think lone working, generally speaking, I think we're very good. And again, I don't want to slip into the corporate ceiling, but I do think we're generally very good in any departments across the group on lone working. I've worked in lots of companies that don't consider it a risk in the same way we do. We're looking at other devices and stuff now, so we're always looking in our team, especially looking to make those improvements. But whether lone working is a catalyst for the stresses, I don't know. I think it's probably just part of the full story from my side.
It can, again, go back to people. Everyone's different. Like for me, lone working, I love it. Put me on my own and let me just do my thing.
So the way we love it, Mike.
Monday to Wednesday.
But some people aren't like party, and some people like interaction. And like for me, you know, my wife and kids is enough interaction for me a day. Like an Alexa. See away. So I'm lone working all day for
you. We might edit that out for you.
But some people like it though, don't they? Like
it works
for people, doesn't it? I find for me it's a lot, if I'm on my own, a lot less distracted, more focused, and I can just be more productive.
Yeah, you've got a project to do something to wear, like a few hours worth of work to do.
I'm happy. Like.
Okay, I want to move on slightly, and you've talked about, you mentioned the word coping before, so and I said at the very beginning, we'll talk about kind of some coping strategies if we can. So I'd like to know a little bit more about like how you've come to where you are today and what strategies you use. And
a lot of bad ones.
Rolling your sleeves.
I'll tell you what not to do. I don't know what to do. Like.
So like what would you advise, kind of, if you were given advice on like coping strategies you've used, and you said that's a good one for me, you know, it supports my work-life balance and my mental well-being. What would you use, Paul? Have you got anything to hand?
I do something. I've done this on and off for a little while. I just make little lists. Sometimes I'll find like 9 little lists under my keyboard a week later, but I make a little list of things that they're not even important things, the silly things, like, you know, book the car in for the MOT and, you know, send that thing through to me mum, that chest, or whatever it might be.
It does,
and it gives you a little bit of that's all I've got to do. I don't stick to them as much. Okay. The intention's there.
Yeah.
The road to hell's paved with good intentions.
To make them, and once I've done like 4 out of 6.
Yeah, you think I'm done all right there?
I've done 4, I'm all right.
Short-term victories, we're all about the short-term victories. But I think for me, that was one thing, recognising it and being, don't want to over-dramatise and say brave, but there is an element of courage and bravery to saying I'm not all right, you know, there is always an element to that. I think that was the first step for me, and then just accepting that, you know, some days I'm not going to be able to do the stuff I think I can. And, you know, we speak quite a lot, and in our team, it's not unusual for someone to say, I'm actually having a bad day today, can I do something different today? I don't want to do the meetings, I don't want to do the site stuff, and we'll move things around to help, because we're all, well, it's essential, isn't it?
It's a team.
Exactly, it's a team game.
Mike, anything from you on that?
Yeah, the big one for me that I think is probably universal to a lot is sleep. Like, I notice if I don't sleep, I get worse. So instead of getting, you think, oh, you haven't had 3 hours sleep, I'll be tired now, everything just goes faster and faster until it's like you can't move.
So how do you get to the point where, what do you do as a coping strategy to ensure you get sleep?
Well, I go off my kids to get up early, so they're up at like 6, so I think, well, I've got to be in bed for 10, I've got to get me 8 hours. Yeah. But oftentimes that comes down to, again, with what I need to do and what I want to do. Okay. And it can be as simple as I want to stay up and watch the telly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know that our episode or whatever it may be is going to come and get me in the morning. Okay. So I have to.
It's those little decisions I find, don't them little ones.
Yes,
it's not the major ones. It's the little ones, and it spirals. And 3 months go by like that, and you've made a series of little bad decisions, and that's led you to this choice you've got now where it's compounded, and mistake, those little decisions are chasing you then.
Yeah, that's really interesting, and I think we keep coming back to those kind of, that there's a point, isn't there, where you're making decisions, and perhaps, I guess it's when you're making good decisions, that's where
deflow.
The more good decisions you make, the more good decisions you'll keep making.
Yeah.
Right? Again, just moving on slightly, just around kind of mental health resources at work. Do you know kind of any mental health resources that are available to you, or have you used any mental health resources that have been available to you at the Savini Group?
I haven't used them. I mean, I'd know where to access them if I need them. I don't know on our space. I'd know who to contact to find out.
Yeah.
And I think what the group offers is great. Just where I am on my journey, I've probably passed. I've done all. Yeah. It's down to me now to sort of, you know, the answers. Just get your stuff together and make it happen. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Which is really positive. It's not always going to be perfect, but I guess if you're already at that point, that's
one thing I did get told a while ago, and I think it stuck with me. I think it's pertinent is accept how you feel, because it's not going to last forever. Sometimes you can get stuck in the I'm like this is the end, you know. But it'll pass. Yeah. You're not going to be like that. You'll be alright tomorrow. Yeah. So. Just cling to that when you're feeling a bit.
Yeah, that's helpful. I like that. That's really good. Really good. Paul, what about you? Are you aware, or have you accessed any of our workplace kind of support?
I haven't. No, none of the official support, like the employee assistance program and things like that. But what I'd say, and I won't do any give any names, but there's a little handful of people who every now and again will just drop me a message and say, just seeing if you're all right, because we might have had a conversation in the last few years. And it's lovely that it kind of took me by surprise a bit. But over the years, there's, like I said, there's a few little people who we'll chat with, you know, people and say hello when you see them. But just out of the blue, I'll be saying, some days I'm having a really bad day, just for whatever reason, you're busy, you're stressed out. And a little message will pop up, nothing to do with work, just I'm just checking in, you're all right. And I just like it, or say, yeah, I'm fine, thanks mate, how are you? And it's not, that's it, it's 20 seconds of my day, but later on you think, oh, at least that person, you know, cares, or at least, and it's nice, those little things are really, really nice. And again, for me, it's the little things, I think, that make, the grand gestures are great, and the EAP looks like a great service. We've got a really robust occupational health process, which I know people have used. That's all brilliant, but it's those little things where you think, someone's actually doing a thing there for me, like, isn't that nice?
Yeah, fantastic. I think as well, when the podcast goes out, we'll put up some details, like resources that people can use. Some like really useful things I've seen on online, particularly on our space, not just on there, the things like the financial well-being packages.
Oh, I've signed up for a couple of them.
That affect your mental health.
It's not necessarily just kind of your, you know,
like therapy type stuff.
issues. It's a lot of it, I guess, is about, I say prevention, but I think support's the right word, but supporting, because, you know, there's all different kinds of pressures. It's not just workplace stress. It's not just a person issue. It might, you know, everything on the exterior might be feeling great, but what about financial pressures? What about home pressures? All these different things. So our space is definitely something for that.
Just on that stage, I think a lot of the time people get treated for that anxiety or depression, but they're the symptom of something else.
Death, definitely.
Can be one, I think. All the stress, but anxiety and depression, it's just like a headache and a cough, innit?
Yeah.
It's not a thing, it's a symptom of.
It's a symptom of.
For me, it was anyway.
No, definitely, mate, I couldn't agree more. And I know it's.
The best action is tackle the, like
the causes of the thing. Yeah. And it's always, again, it's back to those little things. You know you're going to compound it. You know you're going to let yourself down if you carry on down that road. You know that. And it's knowing that, though. Because I spent years not knowing that, and I actively not knowing it, going, oh, you sound, mate. You sound.
Your legs on fire. I'll put that out tomorrow.
But you think, oh my God, for years I've convinced myself. If I could convince others, you know, to that level, you think.
And that could be frightening, can't it? God, like when you've lived a certain way for so long, and that becomes your, you know, it sounds cheesy, like your truth, and that's what you think too. Well, actually, when you realise it is,
it's not. If it is scary, mate.
You don't really know yourself, so that's really kind of difficult. I did want to ask kind of your opinion. You've kind of given me a bit of an opinion on the employee assistance programme, and obviously the Savini Group's a number of companies, isn't it, that do very different things, all similar in terms of why we're doing it, but do very different things, and whether you know. Just as a colleague, I suppose professionally as well, as a health and safety person, and yeah, I know you, neither of you have accessed it, but do you think that type of external programme and an opportunity, you know, to speak with somebody, they have online resources, do you think is that fit for purpose in like today?
I think it's essential. I think it's even further than that. I'd, you know, me not accessing the you know, that function, or that solution for me, or me not taking advantage of that, I like that it's there, though. And I might never take advantage of, but I like saying to people, oh, does it, like, I know me, I can give the number to my sister, for example, because obviously it's family as well. That's like just a nice thing to have in your back pocket. So I might not ever take advantage, but knowing that I can, is kind of enough for me. Knowing that if it comes to me and I go, no, you know what, I've got no one in my life I can talk to, I just need to get this out. I know that there's a thing there.
Okay.
So I think it's good. And overall, I think Savini do a lot of that, lot of those things.
I think perhaps, I don't know if you think anything different, Mike, is I have some thoughts around, is there something as visible enough? I know we have our space, for example. We don't have, I know we're in the hub today. We're not having a head office anymore. And for example, we used to have like occupational health who'd come on site. I know that's slightly different, but I think something to consider. And I've just wanted your thoughts really on, like, is it a lack of like a physical presence or something, somebody specifically linked to the group? Like, because obviously our EAP is an independent service, whether you felt that was fit for purpose. But I mean, it's encouraging that you do. But I just think that's something general.
I think this, what we're doing now, is probably a good step, to be honest, because I think you've got the employee assistance program, but are people going to access it though? Because people don't want to admit there's anything wrong, or there's, you know, the stigma attached. So they don't bother, but talking about it, bringing it more open, I think people might think, well, there's them three going on, what's to stop me going? And it does work. I mean, I'll advocate for therapy, like, it does work to a point.
Everyone says it, don't even talking about it, it's like the easy day. Oh, you just need to talk about it. It's so much harder than that. This is, you know, we're quite comfortable talking about this. We all know each other. Me and Mike talk about this regularly, so that's fine, isn't it? But not everyone is that open, and you've got to accept
that. Not everyone's that open and honest with themselves. With themselves, so they can go to the therapy, but they can not let it all out because they don't want to.
I don't even believe it.
I'm not like that, really.
Yeah.
I don't, aren't you? Because every time that happens, you do X. Yeah. It's just learning your own behaviours and being honest with yourself and being like,
honestly.
I'm not. Yeah. I can't be that guy.
Yeah, stigma. Yeah. That's a really good word, actually, and leads me on nicely, actually, to what I wanted to ask you. So, I mean, this can be more of a generalised kind of comment, but if you want to talk specifically about working here, you know, please feel free. What are some of the kind of common misconceptions around mental health issues you feel need to be addressed working here at the Savini Group? Is there a stigma attached, given the type of industries we have? Do you think?
I think there's a worldwide stigma on it, to be honest. Okay. Everywhere. It's definitely a lot better. I can speak from experience. It's a lot better to be in it than it was in the army.
Yeah.
Would it be better at other places? Maybe, but it'll probably be worse than the majority. Yeah. So I think the worldwide thing on it is a stigma, especially for men.
For men.
You shut up and get on with it, innit? Type of attitude. That was definitely the army attitude. And when I was younger, and I tried to do that. You can't afford to go to the pub every night, can't you? And go to sleep and just plod through.
Yeah.
For me, it was when I started collecting responsibilities. I got a wife, I got kids, got a house. You can't then, things that were all right for you in the past can't be done now. You've got to learn to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it's not, talking of course, it doesn't just affect men, but just interesting, you know, of course, you guys are both males. Like, you, Paul, you mentioned something to me before about that, like, mates in mind.
Mates in mind on construction, yeah. I think, Mike's right, it is everywhere all the time. I think it's part of what we are, really. Yeah. But I think certain industries come with an additional little badge.
Yeah.
Construction is nailed on one of the top two or three of that. All macho, everyone's dead hard, everyone's terrified, they're all scrapping the weekend, they're all big men doing big men stuff, and that's great, but the reality is they're not. Reality is they're just people like me and us. And when you've got that kind of, you know, like, fronting it out, but I think people spend like 40 years fronting it out in the construction industry because they think, oh, I can't say about me back because everyone thinks I'm weak.
Yeah.
But well, no, mate, you're putting yourself in a, you know what I mean? What are you doing? And when you retire, no one's really interested in that. You know, at the end of your working life, no one's there going, were you the hardest on site? Did you work through all pain?
Yeah.
No one cares about that.
Yeah.
They're probably just, you know, be worried about your physical state because you put yourself through that that industry, which wants you to be like that. Mm. It wants you to carry on. It wants you to get it done, just smash the job out.
Have you got any thoughts on what we could do to kind of challenge that and to tackle that? Is that the right way? It sounds quite confrontational, but to support people, to feel comfortable to come forward, I guess.
I think this is a big step, promoting conversations around it. Again, it's always going to be, I think a person has to come to a realisation point, whether it's like, do I tackle this now or do I keep living in denial and doing what I'm doing? And only they can come to that realisation. But by talking about it, maybe people think I'm not alone. Actually, I feel like Paul, I feel like Mike or Steve or whatever, that that might be beneficial for them.
It was the choice for me. It was knowing that I had a choice. I'm a big believer that everything's a choice. Yeah. Everything that happens was we're making a choice on some level. Even the things that we think are subconscious, that's somewhere inside I'm choosing to do this action. Okay. And once you get your head around the fact that I can choose to do the other one, then you think, oh God, is there other options? I don't have to keep doing this. And once I realise that, it's hard, it is hard because it's habitual. But once you realise that if you're strong enough with yourself and say, I don't want to do that anymore, you can choose your way out of it. Yeah. And it's only a mental state. The things are still happening around you. But if I'm choosing not to go into that, not to make those same mistakes, not to let it get me down, not to bottle it all up, maybe to speak to someone in the team, I can make those choices. It works better for me, and knowing that I've got the choice, I think is a powerful thing.
It's interesting. I think as a group of people, and you know, I think we tend to think about, oh, somebody has mental health. Actually, we all do, and we all constantly will. And I think a big challenge I've faced in my life is actually dealing with some mental health challenges and thinking, oh, like, that's done now. You know, like, let's move forward now. Exactly, everything's great again, when actually it is a constant challenge, isn't it? The world that we live in, the you know, society, you think about access to information now is greater than ever. That brings with it like lots of stresses and lots of pressures, and you know, through from
anyone's a 2 minute doctor, aren't they?
A conversation about the football can turn into a stressful situation, through to like what's going on in people, you know, in Israel and all these. Like, it's, you know, it can really get to you, can't it? So I think recognition that everybody has to manage their mental health, even if you believe it's good, it's a constant evolving thing. I think that is the biggest challenge and something.
So do you think people with good mental health, as you just referred to it there, I always think people with good mental health, I can't remember a day when I've not gone, you're going to be sound. Over some issue. There's some issue where I always have to level myself out again.
Talk to yourself.
Constantly. Yeah. Like I said to you before, I don't know who's going to be in charge today, one of the personalities. Yeah. But that's what it feels like to me. If I'm constantly going, not now, it's not your time yet. Just constantly pushing things out. And it's what you let come to the surface, isn't it? You know what I mean?
And control, and the control of that for yourself. So recognition of it, and even if it happens, just then dealing with it and dealing with it positively.
But to people who don't experience that, whose brain works in a different way, are they aware that they're not experiencing poor mental health? Are they going, oh, I'm having a great mental day today? How does that?
I think there's an element of, they might just be lucky that they've ended up in a structure of life
where it works for them.
Exactly. Similar to me in the army, it's fine. You take that away, they all come to the surface.
That's
then.
That's kind of my point, because even if you are in good mental health space, it doesn't mean it will always be the case.
No,
so
and you can get back there as well. As a good thing to
absolutely. Remaining vigilant about that, and knowing you've been there before, you can get back there. But perhaps you just need to, you know, be kind to yourself and do these things.
I think that's what other people who haven't gone down this road maybe are a bit apprehensive, because they think, well, I've always done this. I'm here now, I'm getting by. But if I do something different, but I don't know. It's that apprehension of not knowing, but it does work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I told myself that for years. I'm sound, I've got a job, I'm doing all right, I'm getting by. I told myself that for years and years and years. I didn't think that, you know, 3 hours sleep regularly isn't enough. Genuinely, I'd be like, no, I get 3 or 4 hours, I'm sound. Yeah. People are like, you're not sound, though. Yeah. You're clearly not sound. Yeah. You're
doing all right, but I think if I wasn't so consumed with sort of meal, I'd probably do the world.
Doing all right, you can take over
80%.
We'll come back next year, see how far
I'd probably be nowhere, mate. Yeah, so be it.
So, gents, I just wanted to ask you kind of one final question, if I can, and it's a bit like, didn't mean that to sound like a cliffhanger. If anyone is listening today, and obviously hope they will be, and they recognise they might be struggling with their mental health, if you could give them one piece of advice, what would it be, Mike?
For me, it'd be speak to someone and just tell them what's going on, because they might have gone through something similar. They might have the answers that you haven't got, or at least a bit of a steer, do you know what I mean?
Anyone
you're comfortable with. I think that's key. You've got to be comfortable. And even if they don't have answers or they don't have anything positive, just getting it out can be a relief sometimes. Get a weight off your chest. But speaking definitely helps, and sleep. Everything gets worse, you don't sleep. 100%.
Okay, brilliant. Paul, what about you?
I suppose being honest with yourself, and not being scared to be honest with yourself, and accepting that there's good and bad in us all. You might be good at this, you might be terrible at that. You can work on that. You know, you can applaud that, and you can work on that, and that's all right. You're allowed to be yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Within reason.
Within reason. Okay, so in terms of questions, Michael, Paul, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been fantastic.
Been a pleasure
to listen to you, and really brave of you. So I really appreciate you joining us today. So thanks very much, Jens. And that's all from us today on Savini Speaks Mental Health. We hope you found the conversation insightful and interesting. Please remember, our mental health is a journey. We all go through it. Nobody's the same. If you've got any questions or any thoughts, please get in contact with us. There'll be, wherever this is going out, contact us at the HR team, health and safety team, contact us directly. Or if you're uncomfortable doing that, please just speak to one of your colleagues or your manager. Stay tuned. We'll have more episodes coming up where we'll continue to explore the human journey into mental health. But until next time, take care. Thanks for joining us. I'm Steve Scott, and this is Savini Speaks Mental Health.